This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
Financially to the home. Welcome.
Hallelujah. Amen. Father Lord, speak to your people. Speak to us through my lips, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. So this morning we are all welcome in Jesus' name. The topic before me is the model wife in three cases of submission in marriage, contributing financially to the home. And I'm going to be doing three things before, hopefully, I trust God, my time is up. First and foremost, I'm going to be just talking a bit on submission. Submission is something we have often heard about in the body of Christ. We'll just touch on it a little bit. And then I will share with us the process that God took me through growing in submission of my finances, first to Him, because that's where it began for me, first to Him, and then ultimately, of course, in marriage now. And then lastly, we'll look at some practical ways that we can contribute financially to the home before we take our question and answers. And I trust God to help us in Jesus' name. Okay, please, let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 to 24. Ephesians 5, verse 18 to 24. It says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." And I want to say today, like we have already heard in the conference, God's word as Christians, because we stand on this platform addressing Christians, right? As Christians, God's word is our constitution. God's word is our charter. God's word is our code of conduct. And so it doesn't matter, because we live in an age where we see the rise of this feministic spirit, feminism. Feminism is in the air. And right now, everything is being done, especially outside of the shores of Africa. Everything is being done to suppress everything that represents masculinity. Children of God, that ought not to be our testimony. God has shown us categorically in His word that the husband is the head of the home. And as daughters of Zion, we also must take bearing from our constitution. We shouldn't be the ones spouting and touting the philosophies of the women liberation movement. What a man can do, a woman can do better. It's a lie from the pit of hell. And I often say, physically, practically, we can prove it. Bring 50 liters of water, or maybe 100. Come and carry it. Those are lies from the pit of hell that should not be constituting philosophies on which we are building our lives. To submit means to yield. It means to yield. And first and foremost, we must learn to yield to our King. Because when we see Him as the ultimate Lord and Master of our lives, it becomes easier to yield to every other authority He places over us, regardless of whether they are younger, regardless of whether we are more endowed. The Bible says the man is the head. And it doesn't matter whether we are more educationally, endowed. It doesn't matter whether we are more financially endowed. It doesn't matter whether we have more status or political representation, whatever it is that this world counts. Those things don't matter. God tells us the man is the head. And so we must submit to the man. And so I want to share my journey with us, because I know, you see, when we talk money matters. Money, oh my God. Hey, money matters are not easy, you know? So, but I'm going to share with us, for me, how the Lord helped me. And I'm not saying, sincerely, I'm not saying that after all said and done, when we got married, there was no struggle. But remember, where are we coming from? God is our ultimate authority. And so even when the struggles are there, we'll go to God in prayer. Say, Father, help me. Help me to submit, even in this aspect of my life. And so for me, the journey began in 1992 when I said yes to Jesus and began to follow Him. And I want to show us the process of growth. God took me in finances that I think has made it easier for me to submit to my husband in marriage. And I know as I share my story, somebody will say, oh, well, Esty, I'm not 14. I know we are not 14 any longer. But I always believe that we can start. With God, there is always a starting place and a starting point. And if sincerely anybody will desire and begin today, your story can also be transformed in Jesus' name. Amen. So when I got saved, I began to read my Bible. And I came across this verse, Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, I don't know about you. Some of us, you know, we didn't come from religious backgrounds. And so, as a young teenager, when I read this, I said, oh my God, I don't know how I'll do this. How do I begin to seek first your kingdom? Because I don't have any reference points. You know, I don't have anything to build from or build upon. And the Lord took me to Matthew 6:19-21. For me, it was very foundational. I think this was the first principle I learned in the faith, and it has been so instrumental. I will read it. It says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And so, there that day, I sat in class and I was thinking, I said, Lord, where my treasure is, there will my heart be also. I said, okay, Father. So it means, if all by myself, naturally, my heart is not being inclined to your kingdom, I can begin to send my treasures. I can begin to send my money. And you are telling me here that as long as I am doing this, my heart will follow my treasure. And I began to do that. Right from that time, you know, we learned about offerings. It started with offerings. We started giving the offerings. And then along the line, started hearing about tithes. So I went to my chaplain. And I asked him, I said, sir, please, what's the meaning of tithes? And he explained to me. He said, your tithe is 10% of the income that you receive, you give to God. I said, sir, so Am I too young? Can I start doing it? He said, yes, you can start. He said, but don't pay. Don't tie it to your school fees. Oh, don't tie it to your school fees, because that one you explain to your father. But any other income that comes to you, you can tithe. And so I started tithing my pocket money. Started tithing everything I was receiving right from that time. Okay? And I kept doing that. Eventually, the Lord also began to teach us about seed faith, gifts, offerings. You know, you go and maybe you go to the house of God, and we're asked, okay, there is a need in the house. There is a need. We want to maybe buy a plot of land, want to build or something in the house of God, right? So can we stand up and make pledges? And I was doing that. Many times I pledged, I didn't even have the money. I just did it by faith. I will stand up and pay the requisite amounts. Many times in bits and pieces. You know, you stand up to pledge 5,000. You don't have it anywhere on planet Earth. But as 50 naira comes, you send it in. As the next 10 naira comes, you send it in. And you keep doing that until you have successfully paid every single vow. And God helping, every vow I took, because the understanding we had from scriptures is that God said, don't come and make a vow if you are not ready to keep it. That he doesn't delight in the something of fools. I can't quote it. Okay? In other words, if you are not interested in paying the money, don't bother. So I took it as a pledge, and every vow I made, I gave it unto the Lord. It's a journey, right? Okay. In my youth service, one day the Holy Spirit just told me, he said, Toy, there's nowhere where it's written in scripture that your tithing should stop at 10%. And I said, wow, that's true. There's no scripture that says tithing ought to remain at 10%. So what are you saying, Lord? He said, you can increase it. You can take it higher. You know? I said, okay. And I began to do that. Okay. As he enabled, I kept taking, he took it higher and higher and higher and higher and higher, until a point came where as a single lady, I was giving God over 50% of my income. As a single lady, I was giving God over half of every income that comes to my hands. Now, why am I going through all these routes? Okay, before I finish, and then lastly, as I got the job, the Lord started teaching me again. Every new level you get to, you give everything you receive to the Lord. You know, when you live in the Spirit and you are walking with the Spirit, you'll be doing things that you don't even know have names in the body of Christ. You are just obeying the principles. And when you go into church one day, you hear that they say, this is called first fruits. Say, okay, so, okay, this is first fruits. Okay, okay. You know, so every new level, every new financial level, maybe I was earning or receiving. The highest money I had was tens of thousands, maybe 90,000, 20,000, what have you. And somebody comes and gives me 500,000. I carry it. Say, Lord, you have brought me to another level. Please take this. And you are on that level, 500,000 or hundreds of thousands. And then somebody blesses you and gives you 2 million naira. Quickly you gather all together and say, Lord Jesus, this is another level. Please take this. And that's what he has brought me to be doing. Now, why am I sharing all this? It's because I found out that doing this kills the spirit of covetousness in our hearts. You know, we live in a world that teaches us how to gather, 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 grab, collect, take. Take so much more that you take from every other person that you can take from. Even if it means to kill them and destroy them in the process. That is the way of Babylon. To take, to amass, to gather. Ensure you gather all. and every other person is impoverished. But as long as we are living large, it doesn't matter. God's way, this journey I shared with us, killed covetousness in my life. Because I found out that truly, God's word is true. Where your treasure is, your heart cannot but be there. And so there is nothing in this world that I desire over and above Christ. This world has nothing to give. It has nothing to give. It kills covetousness. Secondly, it refocuses our hearts, our desires, our attention. Paul speaking, he said, if ye then be risen with Christ, set your affection on things that are above, where Christ is seated with God, right? I'm here to tell us, I'm saying one of the ways we can do this practically is begin to send our money into the kingdom. You see, there's so much strife today. When we give to the house of God, it looks like we're giving to the pastor. Because we don't understand. It is our Father's kingdom. I tell people, I will do what God says I should do. If that child of God can take God's money and buy whatever he wants to buy with it, that is his cup of tea. That's his business with his creator. Every one of us, we stand and give an account. And I will not stop doing what God has shown me because another Christian is abusing it. I will not. I will do what God says I should do. Whoever wants to do what he cares with God's finances will stand and give an account unto his creator. That is his business with his maker. And so what am I saying? Do what you have to do. Remove your eyes, your heart, your mind from all the stories we are hearing. It may be true, but that's not your business. He, she, whoever is doing it, will give an account to God. And God is keeping records. Because on the last day, the Bible says, the book of life will be opened. And then what? Other books will be opened. And every man will give an account what he did in the house of his father. Praise the Lord. And so, lastly what that does for us, it begins, you know, you end up using less and less for yourself. Isn't it? You end up using less and less for yourself. And so, for me, this was where the journey began. So now when I got married, and, you know, I came into the home, it was not a struggle to submit my finances to my husband or to submit it in the marriage. Why? Number one, I know that God is our final authority. Number two, God has placed him as the authority over my life. And all of these things were already finding expression. So it was not so much of a struggle. Now, like I said, I know there were times when, like especially when we first got married, you know, there were times when, you know, you come, for instance, and there is an income and you feel, oh, he has mishandled it. He has used it wrongly. You know, those are the things we always say. He didn't use this finance properly. And then there's a struggle. Next time you are wondering, oh my God, oh my God. All those things, I took them to the Lord in prayer and the Lord helped. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so this was my journey in growing in submission financially. Let's go to Genesis chapter 11. Like I was saying, when those struggles come again and again, you turn your eyes to the Lord and you trust him. And you commit the matters at hand into his hands. and God eventually works them out. Okay, let's look at Genesis 11, verse 1:4-6. 1, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. Verse 4, and they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. So, coming into the home, I had the understanding that my husband and I, we are a team to build God's kingdom together. So, some practical ways that we can do so financially. Number one, as I was telling us, you can, as a woman, you can contribute to your home financially by giving your salary. From the inception, yes, from the inception, this was my understanding, like I said, because God brought me through this process. And I know that we are working together as a team. So I bring everything on board. Now, there are cases where I wasn't comfortable with the way the money was spent, you know, and I go back to God in prayer. It hurts me. I say, Lord, see this, you know. And I have been praying, and I must testify that over the years, I have seen growth and maturity in the way finances have been handled in my home. Praise the Lord. Over the years. It didn't come automatically, but over the years, you know, it has been from growth to growth. And whenever I felt those restrictions, sometimes I voice it, but not rudely. Okay? You can speak. God didn't make, we're not dummies, right? You can speak, but you do so courteously. You do so with respect. Sweetheart, I'm not comfortable about the way this was handled. Okay? And we discuss it and we pray about it. And like I said, over the years, I have seen growth in that aspect. In the mighty name of Jesus. Okay. Secondly, we can contribute financially to the home. Thank you. Practically. We can contribute practically to the home by running a business. Okay? By running a business. We know these things, right? 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 to 7. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 to 7 is about the widow whose husband died of debt. And as I was preparing for this meeting that day, the Lord just spoke. It just came to my heart, right? I said, why did this woman not do this before her husband died? I mean, what stopped it? Maybe it was even all of the challenges, financial challenges that were, you know, because, you know, the husband is the head, right? The provider. He's the one that wakes up every morning thinking about how the family can move forward. The challenges of the wife and the children rest squarely on his shoulders. So he's thinking, how am I going to push these people? How am I going to do this and do that? And this woman, the same process that she passed through, the Bible says her husband died as a debtor. And I began to wonder, why did she not do this when he was alive? She did the right thing at the wrong time, isn't it? She could have done this when he was alive. So what am I saying? We can contribute financially to our homes by executing or running a business. I remember when the quail business was quail eggs. Quail eggs. There was a time it was trending. That business was so lucrative. I ventured into it. It was so lucrative. I tell you. Quail eggs. You know, there was a lot that happened. Let me look at my notes. There was a lot, right, that took place then. It was a very lucrative business. I remember when I started, then there was a veterinary doctor close to the house. He was the one that actually spurred me on, right? So I went and bought 300 beds because he promised me he will help me to sell those eggs. So 10 crates, I was budgeting 10 crates a day. And then the first set came, he helped me. The second day, he started complaining. I said, but you are the one that made me buy these beds. You know, the story changed though. And then the third day, he outrightly rejected the eggs. You know, so, Jesus. That day I went to my store. There were 9.5 crates. And then that was weekend. Saturday, there were 20 something. Sunday, there were, oh Jesus, by Monday, I went to my store, see eggs everywhere. I said, Lord Jesus, you have to help me. I said, you have to help me. What do I do with all these eggs? You know? And I went to pray. I just knelt. I said, Lord. And I found out, I want to share something with us. I found out that every time I go to God as a little child, the answers come immediately. And so, you know, every time I say, God, help me to become like this. Because sometimes I don't know. Immediately, that day it was as if they poured me hot water. I just went. I said, Lord Jesus, what will I do with all these eggs? And he told me where to take them. You know, he told me where to take them. He said, take them to the office. Office. I prayed. The third time I prayed, I had take them to the office. I went and gathered the eggs. I said, I will take them. And immediately I got to the office, they cleared it. And I know that was the day I sold all my stock and even sold the next day's supplies. But that's another story for another day. All I'm saying is keep a business, right? It's very, very lucrative. You can help financially that way. Also, we can help, we can contribute financially to the home by curtailing waste. By curtailing waste. Nigeria is a country that is acquainted with waste. I don't know about Africa. I can't speak about Africa at large, but I know about Nigeria. Nigeria is a country that is so wasteful. And Nigerians, we also have developed this laissez-faire or laissez-faire, what the French call, you know, this negligent attitude. There's so much waste all around. Now that the cost of living is going up, I think it's beginning to help some of us. So we can curtail waste, NEPA bills. Before you leave your house, put off your lights. Put off your sockets. I know situations where sockets that were left on have caused buildings to burn down. Close your faucet. If personally I hate waste. I've never liked it. Right from when I was a child, in the dormitory those days, I will always be the last to go because I'll be enter every room, put off the fans, put off the lights, put off the water. If there's a broken water tap, I am distressed because it's like, oh God, see this water, you know? So you don't have to wait for your husband. When those plumbing, those taps are broken, you can attend to it and help to curtail waste. Again, even in our kitchen department, we can put a lot of things into use. We can convert, like in my house, the house of yams, though it has not been like that this year. No, but when we peel the yams and make the pounded yam, we convert the peels to amala. And you'll be amazed when you dry those things and grind them, how much food can come from there. So much so that you are eating and you are feeding others. This roasted corn and all the corn we eat, right? We can grind the corn cobs and use for chicken feed. Because that's another way we can contribute to the home. We'll get there. We can grind the cob, use for chicken feed. There are so many ways to recycle the things we are using and extend their lifespans. Palm oil. We'll make your palm oil. You can use the kernels for palm kernel oil, isn't it? And other things. So these are some of the things we need to begin to reconsider again, especially since the economy is not helping matters. When we do these things, there's so much. In John chapter 6, right? Verse 11 to 12. This is the Lord Jesus after feeding the 5,000, the over 5,000, because there were more than 5,000. The Bible says 5,000 men, besides women and children. And guess what? Women and children are always more than men. Right? Go to church tomorrow. You see that sometimes the women are 10 times more, 5 times more, the ratio. So that day, Jesus fed like maybe 30,000 people, if you include the women and children. I think that's why they didn't count women and children. Say, Kai, to be really some, just count the men. Oh my God. But what did he do? After everything, he said, gather. Let's go there. Nigerians, let's go there. John chapter 6, verse 11 to 12. I love the master, you know. So many things to learn in his life. John 6, 11 to 12. He says, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. And when they gathered, how many baskets? 12 baskets. So you can imagine if all that food had been left to waste. What was gathered was even more than what had been given. There's so much we can, you know, curb by stemming waste at home. Sincerely. Usually when I go to visit people, you know what? When they want to give me food, I always tell them. I say, no. Give me a certain portion. If I am not satisfied, I will ask you for more. Because I know that when I finish with it, if I don't finish it, it has to be thrown away. Isn't it? So it doesn't make sense. So just give me a little. And if I want more, I believe you me, I'm not ashamed to ask for more. So I enjoyed. I wasn't satisfied. Can I have some more? Hallelujah. And even the ones that are remaining, because one of the points I have here contributes, we live in an agro-based state. So we can also keep, you know, rare livestock. So all those scraps, all those remaining food waste can be given to them. I think I watched a clip somewhere that in one of these European countries, they were giving each, they called for a seminar, and everybody that came, they were giving three chickens each household. And you won't believe what that did. In 1 year, they had eggs, they had fed themselves, they had reproduced, they had, you know, farms, chicken farms. And guess what? All the chickens were doing, they were just scraping the extras. When they finish eating, you know, those things we throw away, they throw it for the chicken, and they are not wasting. And at the end of the day, we are reproducing, generating funds. Amen? Hallelujah. Okay, so we live in an agro-based state. We can contribute by keeping farms or run a storage business. Storage. Now, I know it's not easy because we have wonderful human beings. We are wonderful people, you know. We are wonderful. I remember one situation. We gave a brother, I will not call the amount, but I will just give us a perspective. We gave him something like 200,000 to store rice for us. And at the end of the day, guess what? He brought something like 5,000 naira. He brought, I'm just giving us a ratio. What he brought was less than 5%, Abi, about 6% of the capital. What he brought was 6% of the capital. And this was, oh Jesus, I told my husband, I said, collect it, because I know human mind. If you don't collect it, it will keep troubling you that, oh, this man, he has not given me, he has not made returns. Collect it, let the story end. So we collected the 6% capital. Amen. But, you know, those things will happen. But it doesn't mean we should stop investing. It doesn't mean we should stop. I tried again in Kaduna State. The first year, they brought 2,000 naira profit. After 1 year, the profit was 2,000. I didn't even answer. I couldn't talk. I just left it. But guess what? The man now said, okay, man, we can replow it again and watch for the second year. I said, okay, do it. And this year, they brought 100-fold. So what am I saying? Don't be discouraged. Those things will always happen. But you see, the Bible says, sow to the 7 and sow to the 8. Because you don't know which one will prosper, either this or that. So don't give up. Many times we have lost like that. Keep trusting, keep praying. God will direct you where it will yield in Jesus' name. You know, the Bible says Isaac, he kept digging wells and they were striving. He dug this one, trouble. He dug Sitna, trouble. He dug Esek. But he didn't stop. He didn't stop. You know why? You see, wells in the Middle East were like gold because it's an arid region. It's dry. So you that have a well, it's like we have oil today. Well, water is like oil. Even till tomorrow you travel to the Middle East, they will give you every liquid on earth free of charge, but they will never give you water free. You must buy water. It's very precious. You know, so, but Isaac didn't stop. He kept digging and digging until he dug the one and he said, Rehoboth, the Lord has made room for me. So don't stop. God will bless the work of your hands in Jesus' name. Okay, so where am I now? Number three, right? We can contribute financially to the home by keeping a garden. Keeping a garden. Every place where I have lived since I left home, I've had a garden. I won't believe what that can do. In Yima, we planted, you know. In Kaduna, when I went to Kaduna, where I stayed had something like a flower bed. It was just very small in front of the building. Something like a flower bed, like from here, not as wide as this, from here to this, like just like this. But we planted vegetables, and a time came, all we were buying from the market was onions, fish, and meat. We had everything we needed for a pot of soup, for stew, you know. It frees up funds. Guess what? It also enables you to be a blessing to people. Your neighbors can come in and harvest. Friends from church can come and harvest. Hallelujah. And we were also selling the vegetables. You gather them, you sell. It was a source of revenue for us. And it eased financial strain on feeding. Hallelujah. Okay. So we can also contribute financially through investing. Investments. Proverbs 31 verse 6. Proverbs 31 6. The virtuous woman. A wonderful example for us all to glean from. Proverbs 31 verse 16. Sorry. Proverbs 31 16. It says, she considereth a field and buyeth it With the fruit of her hands, she planted a vineyard. Sometimes when I have saved from my own pocket money, my own lot and portion from the general pool that has been allotted, sometimes when I've saved enough and I see an investment, I invest in it. I know that if I say, okay, for me, real estate has been something that I've been investing in. Lands, houses. Okay? I pick up one. And then when we have need, we can let you go. We can sell it, right? And recoup the investment. Now, that's for that level. But even at that, we can still do, like we're talking about, things like this storage business. Or we can give people, I have somebody that I give money. She buys this clothes. She sells clothes. She sells these. She has a shop where she sells these second-hand items. You know, look for those kinds of things to invest in. It's not a loss. You give the person capital. Somebody trustworthy, right? Somebody trustworthy. You give the capital and they make returns. They give returns at the end of the day. That's why I said that we'll keep praying and trusting God. And if you have been beaten once, don't be shy. They say once beaten, twice shy. If you have been beaten once, don't be shy. Just pray again and the Lord will lead in the name of Jesus. Don't be shy because we can't sit on our oars. We have to be doing something. And you know, money that is invested is what works for you. If we just leave it redundant, it will be there to never multiply. But if it's put to use, it can bring back its kind. Okay. I think I will just wrap it here so that we can go into question and answers. I have about 3 minutes. We can contribute by learning a skill. Learning a skill, something you want to do, you enjoy doing. And thank God, God has blessed, you know, our mommies in this house. You can decide to learn fashion designing, you know. Why are you learning it? So that when you employ the skill, you get some kind of remuneration, right? We have a lot of sisters in this place that are into confectionaries and baking. You can learn from them. Single sisters. You can take a cue. Many of our sisters here are gifted. Don't wait. You are the one looking for financial help. You shouldn't be waiting. It's not the lady that is into the baking that will come and be calling you. No. Take a cue. Can I, you know, attach yourself. Can I come and help you? We have a kitchen department with chefs international. You know, you can go to the kitchen department, learn cooking. And from there, begin to cook for occasions. Mrs. Ogidi, our able Mrs. Ogidi, Reverend Dan's wife is here. She's very good with decorations. Come and meet her. Mommy, I want to learn decorations. You know, those are some of the skills. And then we live in this computer age now. IT. Thank God for Pastor Tony. Organizing some kind of tech festivals. He knows the name, you know, but these tech festivals, they are running here. Avail yourself. These are things that outside of this place, they will cost you so much. But in the house of God, it's usually free of charge, right? And even if we are asking to pay, most times it's just a subsidized thing, just a token. Why don't you come around and learn so that you can begin to contribute in some measure? You see, the Bible tells us in Zechariah 1:17, God said, Zechariah 1:17. It says, cry yet, saying, thus said the Lord of hosts, my cities through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad. And the Lord shall comfort Zion and shall yet choose Jerusalem. We're talking kingdom advancement. What can we do? You know, God is saying his city will be spread abroad through prosperity. How will it come? When each and every one of us is about something, you know, in the home, with your husband, with your spouse, as a team, when you are doing all of this, you have free finances that can be plowed into God's kingdom, that can be used for kingdom purposes. And for me, that was one of the things that girded my understanding. He said, bring ye all the tithes and the offerings. Why? So that there will be meat in my storehouse. There will be meat for God's work, for God's laborers. So if we have that understanding, the same thing Zechariah is saying, that true prosperity, how will this prosperity come? When we are engaging in these things, and then we are seeing correctly that our treasure should go to the kingdom, and we are releasing it to the King of Zion, he can take it off from there. He can use it. You know, in the Old Testament, even God's idea is that the house of God should be a sukkah for widows and orphans, you know, strangers, fatherless children. These are some of the things that is the responsibility of the church that we can begin to engage in. And it doesn't always have to be money. It doesn't have to be money. For instance, like I said, we can be planting. We live in an agricultural state. We can plant, harvest, make a meal, bless somebody, call a child. You know, start Bible club, bless them with some of those things. So God is, all hands need to be on deck. And God is trusting that beyond this program, we are going to be employing ourselves so that indeed we will be kingdom financiers, kingdom builders. And guess what? You know, God said he has not called the sons of Jacob to serve him in vain. He said he is not unrighteous that he will do what? Forget our labor of love. With God, as with creation, there's always a time to plant, a time to grow, a time to mature, and a time to ripen and harvest. So when we begin to do it, it may not be instantaneous, but when we continue, God himself will come and begin to bless us beyond our own measure of understanding. Amen. And I pray, single sisters, married women, like I said, we may not be 14, but it's not too late to start. And as we begin to apply these principles, I know that God will help us on our journeys in the faith, in Jesus' name. Amen. So please, we have questions and answers. I'm sorry, questions? No questions. Okay. Thank you.
Question.
I thought you said no questions. No. Okay. I thought she said no questions.
Okay. I have a very detailed and personal question here from someone. She says, what else should I do when I do all my best to submit, respect, honor, and support or contribute financially to the home? In fact, I am the one who always stocks the kitchen with foodstuff every month. Yet my husband, who is a pastor and even a general overseer, will always bring home a girl from the same church to sleep with her. She cooks my food and eats and even packs the raw foodstuff to her school. It continues, he hates me so much. She says, he hates me so much that he locks me up in the house and beats me up for just no offense. He insults me. I may not need to say this. She goes on to say, I was calling him. Okay, she, maybe I'll read one of these.
Hallelujah.
He insults me down to my privates, and he said that the girl can never be his enemy. But he boldly and clearly declares me his enemy just because I try to let him know that the girl is out to kill his marriage, ministry, and anointing. I was calling him baby one day. He condemned me doing that publicly in the church because he always uses his preaching platform to insult me from the altar in church. So we went home and I knelt down and apologized for calling him baby. All along.
Sister Bridget, please.
Yes, ma'am.
This sister, please, will meet with us.
Exactly.
Yes, after this meeting.
Excuse me, please. We had decided that, but Mom says she wants you to answer a bit of it so that if there's anybody in a similar situation, but
please,
she'll come privately also.
She'll come privately, and at this point, I think I'll like to call on our grandmother, Reverend Mrs. Terry Ochenjele, to please come and give a perspective to this. Thank you very much.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I pray that none of us will have to go through such trauma in Jesus' name.
Amen.
But number one, if you're bringing home food for 1 month and it keeps bringing babe in to eat it, just be buying for every day. The one that is enough for you for every day, it will tax you. That will reduce. But if he keeps bringing a lady in and you are sure that he sleeps with her, if he has a father in the Lord or something, you need to bring up that matter to the person. And although by the mercies of God, we don't advocate for divorce, but if he's violent to you and is into adultery straight up, if you pray and God gives you the liberty, it's a ground, because too much trauma can now kill you. And then if the trauma doesn't kill you, the beating will kill you. So it's not something we will now insist and say, okay, stay there until you die. You know, you can be away and be praying for his salvation if you are sure there's violence. We've heard stories here and there of those violence. And some, they can just gang up and kill you and then say you slept in the bathroom or something. You know, so that one will require that. And then, of course, with such a person, obviously, it's not just a case of abuse anymore. He's obviously demonized. So you have to be extremely careful with the person. Because sometimes the reason why women find it difficult to leave, maybe she has 2-3 children, and then when she opts out to leave, now the man will say, give me the children, and then her heart is with the children. And of course, most people will tell you, well, if you want to, you're talking about the children, if you are not alive, can you even take care of the children? So I know a particular case, the man used to beat. There was a time the lady called me, he beat her and she fainted. She only woke up, he struck her in the head, she woke up, and then he continued the beating. She was like, don't let my people know. Because I was like, you know, so she stayed, endured, prayed, and then one day he beat her up and, you know, sent her away. And all this while she stayed and she didn't let her people know because of her people would probably tell her, just leave in case he kills you. But she wanted to stay because of her child. And then when it got so much, she now walked away. She walked away, and then as God will have it, by the mercies of God, somehow, it wasn't easy, but she got the child to be in her custody now. So the story may not always be like this, but why you see women insisting on staying many times is not for like she's so overly in love with the man. It's the children, because they don't want the children to turn out the way he is or be exposed to so much harm. So in such a situation, like Mama said, would seek for one-on-one counseling to hear all of the story. But generally, if you are facing threat of death, please leave just leave so that you'll be safe. And then if the man is into outright adultery, it's a ground for you to separate. We are not even talking of divorce yet. Let's even give space for now. But then if you insist on staying, then please be very careful. Work with the Holy Spirit. Don't come and call him babe in the church, and then trouble will now start. You just be very careful with what you say. Even around such a person, don't smile if the Lord has not asked you to smile. Because he may say you are laughing at him. So you walk, you tread. The Bible says we should learn to tread circumspectly. That's treading with wisdom. Sometimes it's the spouse you are living with. He's no longer who you married. Something has entered. So don't be, in fact, just know that you are in a war zone and the enemy is around you. Walk with carefulness until God. But don't give up. God can bring deliverance. There's nobody so bad God cannot save. But in that kind of situation, let your heart be knitted with the Holy Spirit so that you are careful. Because if, God forbid, anything happens and you die, no, a surrogate mother or a stepmother cannot be like, you know, the mother itself. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, bottom line, if you are facing wife battery, that's your spouse is beating you, please, you have to be taken away from that environment, because wife battery will not just ordinarily stop. If a man is beating his wife, he will keep on doing so until he eventually kills her. Because practice makes perfect. Yes, practice makes perfect. And that woman is like a soft target for him. If he has started, and there's usually a progression in this aggression. Many men may not start beating immediately, but you can see the way they talk, the violence, then eventually they push you, it's growing. And one thing about this, they'll push you, treat you harshly, talk harshly, or, you know, slap you. From push, it becomes slap. And then the next day, he's all over you. He has bought chocolate, he has bought cake, he has bought flowers, and he's crying, he's calling you all those sweet names. Say, I'll never do it again. It's not true. He may not want to, but something, there is a problem that needs to be addressed. Because it will keep growing. From slap, it will become a blow. And if you don't leave, it will become a kick. And the next thing, you are a punching bag. And even when the woman is pregnant, he can't stop until help is brought his way spiritually. So if a man is beating you, you are facing physical violence. First things first, there must be a separation first. And then the deliverance and the physical help or what have you for the man can be attended to. Because if he will kill you, every pressure, everything, every challenge he faces, he goes to the office and the boss, he has a bad day with the boss, he will take it out on you. Because at the end of the day, you are the one he's coming home to, and you are the one he has power over. He will keep on keeping on until he will kill that woman. So the solution is not to say, I'll be there, I'll be praying, I'll be... Come out first, my sister. Come into a safe place and a safe space. And then whatever help is going to be meted out to him, it will be done while you are yet preserved. Okay? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. So the take home from this is, if there's anyone probably watching us online or who is in this place, who is going through any of this or something similar, you need to seek the right authority for counseling, and then maybe a separation can be organized. You know, in as much as we're talking about separation, nobody's saying you pack up your bags and just leave because somebody said you need counseling, first of all. And the second issue is, if you know the triggers, if there are triggers that trigger the person in question, probably, nobody's saying it's your fault that this is going on, but we're just saying that before that happens, before you eventually get counseling and before separation is actualized, you need to watch out. Like Mama said, you need to watch out, live circumspectly, watch out for those triggers. If there are things that you would say or do, if there's something that you would wear, just try to avoid those triggers and seek counseling. It's important. If you are in this place and you're going through anything like that, or you know that it's almost getting there, please see Mrs. Kwado Ogidi after the service, and you will get the necessary counseling. Amen.
Amen.
I have a few questions here. Okay. Many of them are similar. Like, most of these questions are saying probably almost the same thing. Must you give all your earnings to your husband?
What if you have things that you also contribute to in the house? The other one says, what if in a situation where the husband cannot handle the finances, even when you give him all your money, would you continue to give money because eventually the family will suffer lack? Someone else says, if both spouses are earning, do you still give him the money? Somebody else says, do you still give him the money even if he has his own money and he uses yours for himself? So it's a he money, she money issue.
Oh my God, hallelujah. Okay, so when we say we give him the money, it's not as if he's spending it all on himself.
No, these ones are spending it on themselves.
Okay, these ones are spending it on themselves.
Yes, that's the problem.
Oh, Jesus is Lord.
That's the problem.
They are spending it on themselves.
And not leaving anything for the house.
Oh, my God. Sincerely.
Yes, ma'am. Mommy Ochenjele wants to answer.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
There are different setups in different homes. And it's good to yield to the Spirit of God for what works for you. For example, in my home, okay. My husband. Thank you. My husband and I earn, so there was no day we sat down and said, okay, this is how it goes. He does takes most of the financial responsibility, and he counsels me to save. And then I made up my mind that, okay, I was going to be taking care of the children's, when I give birth, their milk, their pampers, their everything. I took that as my responsibility. And when he gives me money for feeding, I augment. And I don't need to announce it, you know, and I see things around. And then when I got married, I was one of the first to graduate in my house. I think the first to graduate, actually, from a university. So he told my father, don't worry, she'll help to raise the younger ones. So that was what happened, contributions from my salary to the home, to this. So that one, the Holy Ghost led us. Now, that's my situation. Now, I have a friend that, once they get their salary, they pull it into one account, whatsoever they do. Then they both have access to the ATM. And then whatever you want to do, I get the alert. What did you do this use for this one? That's another financial setup. And then there's a financial setup where the man, maybe it's, he's a full-timer in ministry because of his engagements. The woman is the one earning financially. So I think that's where that issue comes up, of submitting the finance to him, because she's the one earning from the house. So in that kind of situation, you need the Holy Ghost to help your heart, because when money comes in, most times, you know, it takes discipline to know how to spend it. And it will be painful for a woman when maybe you worked and then got 100,000, and then you just discover that, you know, 30,000 has gone for somebody's clothes. Meanwhile, you yourself didn't even dare it because you wanted to make sure there was food in the house, everything in the house. So in those kind of situations, you need to ask God to help your heart. And there's this other one that is, in law, they said for every rule, there's an exception. There are some women that they are better financial managers. God has engraced them. And in that kind of situation, we are trusting that in that kind of setup, the man will understand that this woman is gifted financially and she would take care. A volume. You want more volume than this? Praise the Lord. If the man can recognize that, oh, God blessed me with a woman who is financially, she's a good manager. In that kind of situation, if there's a realization, she takes, when the money comes in, they sit down, this one will use this one, this one will use it, and then you give him something he will spend on himself. Don't make him have to beg, like, ma, no, it shouldn't get to that stage. If it's 100,000, the tithe is paid, the bills are run, and he knows what's going on with it. And then give him a lump sum that he doesn't have to account for, so that he can have independence and have respect. Because if you make him have to be like, okay, because when you talk of management, it's not everybody that is blessed. Like, my husband is a better financial manager, seriously. So I thank God, God gave him that, whatever. So, and there are times the two of them are okay. So you need to sit down, put your heads. But whatsoever happens, there will be some form of disagreement at a point. But let the wisdom of God help. Woman, please don't lose your husband over money. Hallelujah. Don't lose his respect. And don't disrespect him because you're the one earning. From what she's saying, she's not saying so many things, but she has her husband still in high regard and holds him in high esteem. There are women that, because they are the financial strength of the house, everybody on the street will know. And that's not correct. In fact, that's, for me, I feel it's an embarrassment. When you come and give testimony and say, praise the Lord, God has helped me to pay the children's school fees. And after that, I paid the rent. And then, in fact, it was just God that helped. When my in-laws came, I fed them. You know, are you okay? Seriously, you know, in that kind of, there are things you want to do sometimes. Just put the money in his hand. Let him do it. It will give him that esteem and then that honor. Praise the Lord. In all situations, God will help us. So it's not a straight line issue that you can answer and say, this is it. There are different financial situations at home. Like, I don't mean to wake up our wounds, but with a sister that passed, I understand he was the financial manager of her money. Or the money, you know, woman's money is her money. The man's money is our money, usually. You know, but it's all our money from this conference, all our money. Praise the Lord. So in that kind of situation, you know, mammon is a spirit. If you are not careful, you enter somebody's hand so much. Maybe he didn't know when he crossed the line and began to hate her for earning so much money. You know, you never can tell. But in all situations, the Lord will help us in Jesus' name.
There's a question that I would like to raise, although it hasn't been asked, but I think it's good that we address it. You know, we're talking about when there is money, how to manage it. What about when there is no money? When the man doesn't have anything, the woman doesn't have, and they are struggling, what can they do?
Hallelujah. Yes, like Reverend Barrister Mrs. Ochendele rightly said, there are different templates that work depending on how you come together and agree. Like for us, it's more or less like a joint account, joint thing, you know. I have access, I can use his ATM, he has access, he can, you know, use my, I don't have ATM, right, so... but I bring it and we disburse it and I can just pick up his ATM and go and take what I need and use. Okay, where there is no money and both parties are struggling, again, it's still first and foremost, that was why I read Genesis 11. See, we need to have an understanding. I presume when I stand on this altar, I usually presume we are addressing the body of Christ. So that's my presumption and that's where I'm coming from, that it's Christians I'm talking to. We need to have an understanding. We are first and foremost brethren. I don't know how I can pass these things across that are in Scripture. Scripture speak to us. Let them be our guiding light. A lot of times we have these challenges or issues because we are taking, you know, our cues outside from Scriptures. If I'm seeing, for instance, let me give a practical example. A brother comes, he proposes to me, and I said, I pray, and he's not the person, you know, and then he's afraid. If somebody said, I hope we can still relate. I said, why not? You are my brother, are you not? It doesn't mean I'll marry every man. No. And then if you came and proposed and it's not working out, does it mean we have quarreled? No, we are brethren. We be brethren. Fathers and, you know, brothers and sisters of one father. So we need to see, that's how I see life. And I don't know how I can process. I can't help. Maybe again, I will hand the mic to Reverend. I don't know. But this is how I process life. We are brethren. Okay? Brother and sister in God, Christ Jesus. And so, if we have nothing, personally, I told God, I don't even want a ready-made man. I couldn't even imagine it. What does that look like? I don't want it. I told the Lord, all I need from my husband, let him have a house where at the end, as the sun is going down, we can both go inside there and lie down to sleep. Even if it's only a mat that is in that room, I don't care. Even if it's only a mat, somewhere that we can just lay our heads to sleep, because I know the sun will always go down. And at the end of the day, we should have somewhere to rest. But I didn't want a prepared. He must have 3 cars. He must have a house. He must have. No, I didn't want that. So if we don't have money, together again, go to the Lord in prayer. God will always give you. He can give you and he will give you an instruction. Remember that widow. There was nothing in the house. But I've come to realize there is always something. There is never a time that there is totally nothing. The only time where there was totally nothing ab initio was at creation. And God said, let there be. And there was. And since that day, there is always something. When that woman went to the prophet, what did he say? He said, what do you have? And she said, I have oil. I mean, it might have just been a little vial, but it was sufficient. Okay? So, come together, pray and seek the face of the Lord. And God will instruct you what to begin to do. Even without money. Apostle Peter said, we don't need money, we need God. And it's true. He can give an idea that doesn't even require money. And as he begins to implement it, you see the hand of God come to pass. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.